choose to surrender our lives. Willingly our knees will bow. With all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength, we gladly choose to deny. You are before your God. Come.
I'd like to say good morning. I'm filling in for Sean, who is recovering from having a grandbaby this last week. I guess you'd call it recovering or enjoying having a new grandbaby. And Cliff is filling in for everybody else, he says. So we're going to wing this thing today and go through it, but I'd like to draw your attention to your announcements. Make sure you read all of those. There's lots of things important going on this week, especially on Friday. We have the block party, and I believe Deanna has an announcement about the block party.
Well, I just want to remind everybody that the block party is Friday night right out here in front of the church, and there'll be lots of good food. You'll get a pork sandwich, two sides, a drink, and a brownie for $7, which is a really good deal, I think. And all of the money goes for the preschool. So we start serving at 5 o'clock and we're there till we end. We'll have a bounce house and face painting. The praise team does music. So if you guys can come out and support that event, I would greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Deanna. And Terry Close hit me up this morning to help on Friday night to tear down tables. And I think he could probably use a couple more, right, Terry? Okay, we could use quite a few more for the teardown. Are you all taken care of as far as setup, Terry? Okay. Okay, so if you can help out with that, please see Terry. Also, don't forget to take off your tear-off sheet and fill out your connection card and put it in the offering time when that time comes, or in the offering plate when that time comes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now this morning. I'll be reading the prayer of St. Francis, which is on 481. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Praise be to God. Amen. All right, this time we sing number 64, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Please stand.
Oh,
Thank you. You may be seated. It is a true joy to be back here this morning after being away for a couple of weeks. I've had graduations going on and got another one coming up in a couple of weeks yet in Wisconsin, a long road trip for us. But we certainly want to keep as a concern, we want to keep the people in Joplin. As you saw on the screen, the devastation to Joplin, and you've been seeing it on the news, that we need to keep all of those in prayer. And we still don't want to forget about all the ones that have been affected by the floods this year. We want to make sure we keep those in our prayers. The weather has been a terrible thing this year, and as the heat comes on, we want to remember the elderly who possibly don't have air conditioning and something. You may have a neighbor that you want to check on. Just keep an eye on those that may not have air conditioning and offer help to them if you can. So also on the back of your bulletin, you will find names of those who are in the hospital and in the nursing homes and assisted living residents, that you want to keep that list close by and just lift each and every one of them. And of course, the biggest joy is, as I mentioned earlier, Shanda and Weston Miller are the proud parents of a new little boy, Mason Bradley Miller. And I understand mom and baby are both doing fine. So I just looked over here and saw Cliff with his hat on. I don't know if he's sleeping or what. Hiding your eyes? Or okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord God, we come to you this morning thanking you with great joy that we have a church this morning, that we can come to a building and gather together and just ask your blessing, Lord, on all of those that don't have buildings to go to this morning, that don't have homes, that have been destroyed by tornadoes and by floods. And Lord God, we just pray that you lift each one of those people up, each one of those families that have lost loved ones, that you will just reassure them that you are still there for them. Lord God, we just pray your blessings on this new little baby that comes into this world that the Millers are so delighted over. Lord God, we just welcome that little child into our world here as our church to be part of us. And Lord God, we just pray for all of those that are listed on this bulletin. Pray for all of those that might not be on there. We pray for the ones that are traveling. Lord God, we just ask your blessings on this service, on Cliff. We especially ask your blessing on Pastor Eric and the annual conference, that great things will happen at the annual conference. And we praise you that Paul will be speaking tonight at the annual conference. We lift him up in prayer that he may be relaxed and full of fire for you, Lord. And God, as we continue in this service now, we just ask your blessings. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, I do.
Guys, how are you this morning? You know, once in a great while, I kind of come in and I introduce you to some kids that I know, okay? And this morning, I have some more kids that I'd like to introduce you to. They live right down the street from me, and you might know some of them. I don't know. We'll see. The first one I want to introduce you to is smart mouth, sassy sissy. Now, smart mouth, sassy sissy gets kind of smart mouthed and sassy to her mom and dad. Her mom will say, "Sissy, why don't you come up and make your bed?" And she'll go, "I don't want to. I won't watch TV. I'm busy." Her mom may say, "Sis, come and help me out with the dishes." And smart mouth, sassy sissy will say, "They're your dishes. I don't want to. I'm busy." She's smart mouth, sassy sissy. Now, the next guy I want to introduce you to is It's My Way or the Highway Conway. Now, My Way or the Highway Conway is kind of a nice guy, except for one thing. It's got to be his way all the time. If you're playing a game, it's got to be the game he wants to play. If you're in a race, he's got to be first. If you're doing anything at all, it's my way or the Conway. My way or the highway Conway wants to be first. Now, the next friend I want to introduce you to is Snotty Snooty Selena. Now, Snotty Snooty Selena, got that out. She's kind of a pretty girl, and she has nice clothes, and she has a nice home. But you know what? She thinks she's just a little bit better than everybody else because of that. Someone will walk down the hallway at school and say, "Hi, Selena." And she'll look at them, and if she doesn't think their dress is nice, she goes. She just sticks her nose in the air, and she won't have anything to do with them. She's kind of a snotty, snooty Selena. Now, the next guy I want to introduce you to is Sneaky Stealing Sanford. Now, Sanford sometimes kind of likes to take things that doesn't belong to him. One day, sitting in school, he noticed that his neighbor had a really cool pin. And when his neighbor got up, he went over and he took that pin and hid it. There's been a couple times in Walmart he wanted candy, and his folks said no. Guess what? Sneaky Stealing Sanford sneaked over there and took that candy. He's Sneaky Stealing Sanford. Now, the next person I want to introduce you to, and I really think that this girl is more like the girl sitting up here this morning. Her name is Twice as Nice Nancy. Now, Twice as Nice Nancy has learned all about Jesus. She wants to be like Jesus. So she works really hard at being good and praying and doing the things that mom and dad ask her to do. She's not like smart mouth, sassy sissy. She doesn't talk to her parents badly. She loves her parents because she knows the Bible says, "Honor thy mom and my dad." And she does that. And you know what? She's not a snooty, snotty Selena. She loves everybody. It doesn't matter to her what people wear or if they have a nice house. She knows it's all about your heart. And she loves everybody. This next guy is Helpful Handy Henry. Now, Helpful Handy Henry is a lot like Twice as Nice Nancy. I get kind of confused sometimes. Okay. He's nothing like My Way or the Highway Conway. He doesn't care if he's first or if he's last. He just wants to play. He just wants to be fun. He wants to have fun with his friends. He's not selfish like that in any way. And also about him being anything like Sneaky Stealing Sanford, he wouldn't do that. Oh, wait a minute. I think one time he did do it. He was in Walmart, and he wanted a piece of candy, and he took it. And you know what happened? His mom found out about it. They went back to Walmart, and he paid for it and said he was sorry. And he's never, never done it again. Now, this is what I want to ask you guys. Girls first. Which would you rather be like? Wouldn't you rather be like twice as Nancy? Twice as nice Nancy? Sure. And you know what? Don't you want to be like that too? Sure. And guys, what about you guys? Is old Henry the one you want to be like? Sure, that's right. And the way we do that is to just to listen to Mom and Dad and learn about Jesus and become more like Jesus, okay? Well, I don't think there's any other ones to do. That's smart mouth sassy sissy. Okay. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the wonderful day that you've given us to come and worship with our family and our friends. Thank you for teaching us about Jesus and how we can become more and more like him. We love you so much, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Cliff Soppe, and I'm a member of the Benton County Gideons. Scripture records that Gideon was a man who was willing to do exactly what God wanted him to do, without regard to his own judgment as the plans or the results. Humility, faith, obedience were great elements of his character. This is the standard that Gideons pursue today as each man stands in his place, spreading God's word and reaching others for Christ, our singular purpose as an association. As I stand here today, I know that our goal as a church is also in spreading God's word and reaching others for Christ. As the Gideons partner with First Church, together we can work toward that goal. I've been a Gideon for 7 years now. For 7 years, I've used just about every excuse for not becoming a speaker. Almost as good as a couple of I can see out here right now that use those same kind of excuses. This sounds a bit like Gideon, as found in Judges. To those who know me, I usually tell them that it's because I don't feel comfortable getting up in front of groups. Now, if Justin were here this morning, as it was planned, he would probably have had a good comment about that. This usually draws a chuckle because I was a teacher for 10 years, elementary principal for 26 years, a liturgist for a number of years, and on a number of occasions I brought the Sunday morning message. What was it then that caused me, unlike Gideon, to turn my back on becoming a speaker? I can think of as many reasons as I can think of excuses, but I am still not sure that I really know. But through humility, faith, and obedience, I pray I'm able to share part of the Gideon message with you today. First, let me share a testimony as to how one Gideon Bible in a motel room affected the lives of many. Dan was a member of a traveling rock band and stayed every night, drugged up in various motels. One such night, Dan was ready to commit suicide, but then he noticed a Gideon Bible on the desk. The index soon led him to John 3:16. And that night he prayed and received Christ. Dan quit the band, quit drugs and alcohol, and started going to church. Shortly after that, Dan invited his wife to church, and she was saved as well, along with her three teenage children and her sister. They were soon all baptized. Eventually, Dan's mother-in-law came to church, and she, along with her brother and nephew and another friend, were all saved. Within a few weeks, Dan's wife's uncle was saved, followed by Dan's brother. All of this because a Gideon Bible was placed in a motel room. It is estimated that one Gideon Bible with a 6-year lifespan has the potential of reaching 2,300 readers. Who then are the Gideons? The Gideons International is a Christian business and professional men's association numbering almost 200,000 members in 194 countries around the world. And from July 1st, 2009 to June 30th, 2010, we placed nearly 80 million scriptures in that 1 year. The Gideons are an extension of the mission of our local churches, engaged in a program of placing Holy Bibles in such public institutions as hotels, hospitals, doctors' and lawyers' offices, with New Testaments in nursing homes, and in presenting the smaller New Testaments, like this one right here, in such groups as military personnel, college and university students, as well as elementary and high school students, and to medical and emergency personnel. This past year, 2.3 million New Testaments were passed out on college campuses worldwide, of which 1.4 million were distributed here in the United States. At the memorial service in Joplin this last week, nearly 3,500 New Testaments were passed out. The auxiliary, made up of wives and widows of Gideon members, assist in some of these distributions. We, as Gideons, donate our time in placing and distributing Bibles and New Testaments. Since the beginning of Scripture Distribution Program of the Gideons International in the year 1908, more than 1.5 billion Bibles and New Testaments have been distributed. We cannot do this without your help. First, we need your prayers. Secondly, we need your financial help. And thirdly, we need more members to help with our mission. If you are interested in becoming a Gideon, see me or another Gideon after this service or in the near future. As for financial help, there will be Gideon and auxiliary members at the back of the church following this service taking a collection. Giving to the Gideons will impact lives for Christ. For $1.40, God's word can be placed in the hands of an individual almost anywhere in the world. $14 will buy 10 New Testaments, while $140 will buy a whole case of the New King James Version. 100% of what you give will go to buying scriptures and help in their distribution. Not one penny will go to the salaries or the costs of running this organization, this being paid by yearly member dues. A second way to contribute is through the Gideon Expressions card. In memory of, recognition of, and thinking of you cards are found in the north, in a rack in the back in the narthex. Each $5 will purchase one Gideon Motel Bible for placement. A third way to help would be to invite our auxiliary to one of your women's groups to make a greeting card presentation. We'll also be visiting the adult Sunday school classes the next few weeks to make a short presentation. I just want to die. David Autry, a Gideon from Tennessee, said that's what an elderly man told me when I entered his small mobile home trying to witness to him and his wife. You see, about 4 or 5 months earlier, their family had lost their home to a fire. They had finally managed to pay off their home, but their insurance had lapsed. So when the fire happened, they had no coverage. They lost everything, home, furniture, and clothing. Somehow they had managed to come up with this small, used mobile home, but it had no septic system, no running water inside, just a hydrant outside where they washed their dishes in the driveway. They had 2 buckets that they used for a bathroom. And that does bring back memories. They were devastated. As they explained all they had endured during the past several months, we cried together. Then I gave them a Gideon New Testament, explained that I was there because I loved them, and more importantly, I was there because God loved them. I shared with them some of the difficulties that I had experienced in my life and about how God had answered prayers for me and about how they had that same help available to them if they would just place their faith and trust in Jesus. At this time, their 30-year-old son came into the room. He told us that he had been awakened, that we had awakened him with talking and crying, and he wanted to hear more about Jesus. We started reading various Bible verses about God's plan for salvation, and now the tears flowed even more freely, and it was difficult at times to read the fine print. I asked them if they were ready to pray for forgiveness of their sins and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, asking him to come into their hearts and lives. The answer was yes. So I led them through the sinner's prayer, and all three accepted Christ and agreed to follow up with baptism. What started out as a project to build this crippled man a handicap ramp turned into three people giving their life to the Lord. David Autry continues that later that day, another member of their team witnessed to a crippled man's brother-in-law for whom we had built steps on his mobile home, and he also gave his life to the Lord. Let others see the love of Jesus in you. Witness to them about how God has worked in your life. Share God's word with them, and then watch as God works miracles. This is the goal of all Gideons. As well, it should be the goal of all Christians. I'd like to thank Pastor Eric for allowing me to be with you this morning. I leave you with a scripture familiar to each of you, known as the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen.
Be
Our scripture lesson this morning is, instead of being Ecclesiastes, is going to be Psalm 25, 9, and 10. If you'd like to find that in your Bible, and then please stand for our Bible pledge. Place your finger on Psalms 25, 9, and 10, and hold your Bible high above your head. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing. Psalm 25, 9 and 10. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast, love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. This is the word of God.
V. V might be for valor, voice, vows, vacillating, or even vanward volunteerism. And the list goes on for what V might stand for. V could also stand for VIM, volunteers in mission. But today, V will be for, that'll come a little bit later. I'm Cliff Soppe, a certified lay speaker for the United Methodist Church. Friday morning, Pastor Eric texted me, informing me that Weston had to leave annual conference to take Shanda to the hospital. Justin was going to fill in for Weston at the annual conference and ask if I would stand in for Justin this morning. Well, no one can just stand in for Justin, as you well know. I said, fine, just have Justin email me his sermon and I will deliver it. Well, the sermon wasn't done yet, so maybe I could come up with one. So I dusted off one from 5-6 years ago and revamped it a bit. And this is the morning message, now that I have changed hats. At a fundraising dinner for a school that serves learning disabled children, the father of one of the students delivered a speech that would never be forgotten by those who attended. After extolling the school and his dedicated staff, he offered a question. When not interfered with by outside influences, everything nature does is done with perfection. Yet my son, Shay, cannot learn things as other children do. He cannot understand things as other children do. Where is the natural order of things in my son? The father continued, I believe that when a child like Shay, physically and mentally handicapped, comes into the world, an opportunity to realize true human nature presents itself and comes in the way other people treat that child. Then he told the following story. Shay and I walked past a park where some boys Shay knew were playing baseball. Shay asked, do you think they'll let me play? I knew that most of the boys would not want someone like Shay on his team, their team, but I also understood that if Shay were allowed to play, it would give him a much needed sense of belonging and some confidence to be accepted by others in spite of his handicaps. I approached one of the boys on the field and asked if Shay could play, not expecting much. The boy looked around for guidance and then said, well, we're losing by 6 runs and the game is in the 8th. I guess he can be on our team,
and we'll try to put him to bat in the ninth inning. Chase struggled over to the team bench and with a broad smile put on a team shirt. I admit to a small tear and warmth in my heart. The boys saw my joy at our son being allowed to play. In the bottom of the eighth, Shea's team scored, but was still behind by three. In the top of the ninth, Shea put on a glove and played right field. That would definitely be my place. Even though no hits came his way, he was obviously ecstatic just to be in the game and on the field, grinning from ear to ear as he watched me waving from the stands. In the bottom of the ninth, having scored another run and the bases loaded with two outs, Shea was scheduled to bat. At this juncture, do they let Shea bat and give him a chance to win the game, or give away their chance to win the game? Surprisingly, Shea was given a bat. Everyone knew that a hit was impossible because Shea didn't even know how to hold a bat properly, much less connect with the ball. However, as Shea stepped to the plate, the pitcher, realizing the other team putting winning aside for this moment in Shea's life, moved in a few steps to lob the ball softly so Shea at least could make contact. The first pitch came, and Shea swung clumsily and missed. The pitcher took a few steps forward to toss the ball softly toward Shea. As the pitch came in, Shea swung at the ball and hit a slow ground ball right back to the pitcher. The game would have easily been over, but the pitcher threw the ball over the head of the first baseman. Everyone from the stands from both teams stood and started yelling, "Shea, run to first! Run to first!" Never in his life had Shea ever run that far. But he made it to first, wide-eyed and startled. Everyone then yelled, "Run to second! Run to second!" Not knowing where second, third, or even home were, the opposing team kept pointing Shea in the right direction. As everyone was screaming, "Shea, Shea, all the way, Shea." That day, I had tears rolling down my face as the boys from both teams helped bring a piece of true love and humanity into this world. Shea did not make it another summer and died that winter, having never forgotten being a hero and making my wife and I so happy as we tearfully embraced our little hero that day. Genesis 9, 8 through 10. God said to Noah and his sons, "I now establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, and all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth." Psalm 25, 4 through 5. "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior." Okay. So V is for geese. V is for geese. Did God send us geese as well as the shays of the world to help teach us a lesson? What can we learn from geese? Some people look at geese as just being messy, especially around parks, golf courses, and around neighborhood ponds. Others look to them as a sport of hunting or for food. Others look at geese as a livelihood. I'm not too sure about this livelihood bit, because I checked with Walmart, and one goose at Christmas time was $42. They didn't sell a one. hunting them might have been cheaper and more tempting. Other people just marvel at their beauty and enjoy their flight. Let's take a look at lessons from some wild geese that might be learned. Last week, some of us watched the Indianapolis 500 while others watched the NASCAR race. During these races, announcers would often allude to those not in the lead, but those right behind as someone who is drafting. Often in the longer races, those in a pack will try to position themselves behind a leader to make their move near the end of a race. This is the same principle used by geese in flight. The aerodynamic V shape reduces the air resistance, with those behind the leader not getting a free flight, but an easier one. Why not in a straight line? The air to the side of a bird is smoother to fly in than a more turbulent air right behind it. If geese were to fly in a straight line, it'd be like someone trying to swim directly behind a motorboat. By flying in a V formation, the swirling air caused by the lead bird's movements help to push along the bird behind, which in turn helps the next bird, and so on. Scientists came up with a couple of their other interesting aspects by attaching heart monitors to pelicans, who also fly in a V formation, and found that their heart rates were down, and they were also able to glide more often. Also, it is the geese further back in the flock doing most of the honking, encouraging those in front. Now, I've got a question for you, by the way. In a V formation, have you ever noticed that one line was longer than the other? Have you ever wondered why? Because there's more geese in the one line. How can we benefit by learning and practicing some of the ways of these geese? While I point out some of these observations, be thinking of how this might relate to our church. Observation number one. As each goose flutters its wings, it creates an updraft for the bird following. And by flying in the V formation, they're able to go 70% farther than if they were flying alone. Lesson number one. People who share a common vision and sense of common direction can get there faster by supporting one another. In order for teams to be more effective, each member must carry his or her own load. That works with committees as well as with prayerful and financial commitment. Observation number two. When the lead goose tires, it peels off the point position and rotates back into the V formation. Another goose steps up forward and takes its turn fighting the wind from the point position. Lesson number two. It pays to take turns, as leaders often tire and burn out. It is to the benefit of the entire group for the group to avoid burnout by another member and rotating leadership, or at least spreading the workload around, makes the team more efficient. By delegating critical tasks to all team members, everyone, including the organization, including our church, can grow. Observation number three. The lead goose on the point never honks. Most of the honking comes from the geese in the back of the V. Lesson number three. You might be thinking that this sounds like the group where the folks doing very little of the work, or ones not as financially committed to the group, has more time to complain. But that's not the case in a V formation. The lead geese tend to be encouraged by the honking, and it comes of positive force. We as humans should look for opportunities to encourage the members of the team, especially those who are bearing the heaviest burdens. Members of effective teams support each other in both obvious and in subtle ways. Observation number four. Sometimes two or three geese break away from the formation in order to look for a better wind current or a more creative path to fly. Lesson number four. An effective organization believes in the culture of celebrated discontent. It constantly experiments with new ways of being. Constant improvements through teamwork is an absolute necessity. And observation number five, when a goose gets sick or wounded and has to go down to land, two other geese fall out of the formation and go with it to support and to protect it. They stay with it until it dies or until it is able to return back to the air. Then the escort geese either try to catch up with their own flock or they join another flock. Lesson number five, when tasks are tough, people need to support each other. Each member is important, and his attitude breeds loyalty and compassion and makes the member know that he will be supported in his time of need. Let's look back to Shay. His parents had taken the lead all his life and broke the way for him. Then probably his teachers helped lead him. And finally some boys on a ball field took the lead for a while with many behind shouting encouragement. Today's scripture, Psalm 25, 9 through 10, says he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the words of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. God sent the geese for food, for sport, for beauty, but maybe also for a lesson which each all of us could learn in our daily lives and as a member of the church. Amen and amen.
Sing with us this morning. Glory shines. You teach the sun when to greet a new day. Creation sings that you reign. That you reign. That you reign. Forever and ever. God, you my song remains that you reign. You hold my life. You know my heart and you call me by name. I live to say that you reign.
Sing it out this morning. Here we go.
God, you reign.
you.